right, the John Curley Sherry Elliker Show, starring Sherry Elliker and the teeny tiny lady in the pickle. Teeny!
And now it is time for the letter
Sorry, teeny. Not yet. She's ready to go.
Sometimes it seems like she wants to go home early or something.
Cat-like reflexes. No, she's loaded for bear. Okay. She's ready to go at any minute. Then she's going to go home early. Where does she have to go? She lives in a jar.
She might have to shave her mustache.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Here we go.
You told me she had one. Not me.
She hit menopause like 4 years ago when she was in the jar, and she has a thing. It's okay. Jacob takes care of it. Right, Jacob, with that little Q-tip I gave you?
Oh.
Dive it in. takes her home every weekend on the back of his bike.
Does he leave her outside, or does she get to come inside?
She comes inside. Yeah. Okay. You know, takes her home, takes
not care. A joke.
Not a joke.
Not a joke.
That seems like a lot of work for Jacob. And you know how he doesn't like a lot of work.
I know, but this is easy. I told him. She lives in a jar. Just let her just make sure the holes aren't covered. All right. One of the dumbest things, and the government did many, 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 many dumb things during the lockdown. One of them was close the gyms. Although there wasn't much science. If we were following the science behind people that went to the gym getting COVID or giving somebody COVID, that's close down the gym. Because one of the best things you can do for your immune system is exercise. But no, we had to close that gym down. So all these gyms got closed. My friend that had one, felt so sorry for him. I kept going to him anyway. I used to sign up for private classes because other gyms were turning other gyms in. People were being reported to the state and getting fined and everything like that. So they closed them all down. And because, you know, the governor wanted to make sure that they could just, you know,
We've got to pound it, and we've got to pound it till it's done.
That's right. It's done. All right. So people dropped out, stopped going to gyms, dropped their immune system because exercise is one of the best things you could do. But that didn't make any sense to those people. And then when this study comes out, it says Seattle among the U.S. cities with the biggest drop in gym memberships. Huh.
Right. Yep. So in 2018, 2019, 28% of Seattle adults, or 875,000 people, had gym memberships. Between 21 and 22, only 18%. So it dropped, you know, quite a bit as far as people just even joining a gym.
Yeah, well, so a 10% drop, and then they compared it to other cities, how quickly other cities came back and joined gyms again. Rhode Island apparently... I didn't know Rhode Island even had gyms, but people went into gyms back in Rhode Island. But number one, people not going back was at San Diego. Was that the number one? And we're seventh or something.
Yeah, New York, Sacramento.
Yeah, here's what I think happens. I sent you this thing. 67% of people never use their gym membership. So you sign up because you have all intention of signing up in January. It's a New Year's resolution. You go a couple of times, and then you just stop going, and then you still keep the membership. And the reason you keep the membership is because you don't want to cancel it, because by canceling it, it says to you, yourself, I have given up. So you keep paying the $43 or $25 or whatever it is every single month because you have not made the commitment to quit. So you're still investing in the hopes that you're going to keep going to the gym again. I think when people stop going to work, when the government locked down and destroyed jobs and lives, I think people started to go, oh, you know, I'm not going to go to the gym anymore. Can't go to the gym anymore. Somebody else had made the decision for them. So then they called and canceled their membership. That's what I think happened.
Well, keep in mind, the whole home fitness thing exploded during the pandemic. People were buying Pelotons. People were buying all kinds of gym equipment. They couldn't keep them in stock because people didn't know how long it would take for them to be able to go back to the gym. So a lot of people invested in their own equipment, and they kept that in their house. These are the people that are truly dedicated to working out at any cost. So they wanted to keep their routine up. But according to the article that you sent, I found this almost unbelievable. It says that Planet Fitness has usually, on average, 6,500 memberships, But the gym only holds 300 people. They are banking on the fact that the overwhelming majority of people are never going to show up. Or if they do, it's very rare. So they oversell these memberships, expecting you not to go because it's, you know, it's a lot of work to go to the gym. You got to, you know, get dressed. You got to get in the car. You got to go there. You got to work out. You got to take a shower. You got to, I mean, all of that. It's a lot. It's a commitment.
I think there's probably more things. Keep going. So you have to get dressed. Start the car.
So I don't go.
This is like
now it is time for the letter of the day.
This is why it takes Sherry so long to get off the plane. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Go ahead.
I've joined so many gyms and I never go. I mean, I did have.
Because you have to get dressed.
Right. Button your clamp.
Open the door of the car. Get your knees to bend forward. Lower your. Put your hands on the wheel.
Right. Start the car. Put it in gear. Step on the accelerator.
And then keep your lungs inflated and swallow.
Your blood
breathe.
Has to go through your body. Yeah, it's so many steps. Too many things to think about.
You must just be wiped out by the time you walk into Planet Fitness.
Just, really, by the time you get there, you've worked out like 20 times.
Absolutely. Just dripping in sweat.
Because you have holding onto the door handle.
Oh, the door.
Locking
the opening
the door.
Of the door. Right, right. And then the combination on the locker, right, left, your wrist is sore. Oh, my God. Absolutely.
Too much.
Too
Who
much.
Needs that?
Oh, no. Nobody needs that. No, they don't tell you that they've oversold. They're just, they know most people buy it, get it, fully intention of going. Then they don't get into the routine of it, so they stop going. Or they do go a couple of times and it's a line as a wait. And like, oh, is there a better time to come? Yeah, you know, if you come around 2 p.m, that's a better. Oh, okay. So they try to make those adjustments. But then most people, again, they don't want to quit. Because if they quit, it makes it seem like, well, I guess I'm never going back again. There was a gym. We did a story on this at EV Magazine back when the show was good. There was a gym over in the Belltown area. It was nutty. You would go in and sit down with them, Sherry, and you give them your goals. Right? I want to lose 50 pounds. Or I want to lose 30 pounds. I want to be able to bench press 200 pounds. And they'd write down all your goals. And like, okay, all right. Okay. Now, when do you think you want to hit this one goal, like on weight or whatever? Like, like 6 weeks. Great. We're going to work for you on that. How about the bench press? I don't know. What do you think? Well, to get to that, what you can bench right now. So they'd map it all out for you, right? They would then call you in. Okay. Sherry, can we see you for a second? And you close the door. And close the door and sit down. And they go, so it's been 4 weeks. It's been 4 months. And we weighed you. You're still 14 pounds above your goal weight, and you really haven't improved at all on your bench press. So we're going to ask you to leave. And if you want to continue with these goals, find another gym, okay? Lose the weight, get better about your upper body strength, and then come back.
Who would join a gym like that? Who would ever go? Who wants to be shamed? Paid to be shamed. Who wants that?
Well, what they were hoping for was then people would go, no, don't kick me out. Don't kick me out. You're really not giving us any options here, but I mean, are you serious? Are you really serious about this? Because you haven't been serious about it. Oh, yeah. I will. I'll start. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. I'll tell you what we can do. We'll give you a 2 week, you know, trial just to see if you can start to see some improvement. If not, I don't want to have this conversation again. All right. All right. See you maybe in here tomorrow. Okay. All right. Have a good night. How long do you think that lasted?
I'm surprised it even started. I don't think very long because if you're going to be accountable to someone, you're going to be accountable to someone where there's a payoff. Your husband, your wife, where they say, you know, I'd love it if you, you know, lost a couple of pounds or you looked so good when.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, that goes over well. Yeah. When my husband says to the wife, yeah, could you lose a couple of pounds? Yeah.
Or it's revenge weight, right? Where you want to get back at somebody, where you want to look great for a family or a high school reunion, or you're going to see an old boyfriend, or those are incentives, not some gym that you're paying to come in and make you feel bad.
No, it didn't last very long.
Yeah,
I don't know how long it lasted, but we were there when they came up with the whole theory, and the guy explained it on paper. And as he explained it, I was like, this is okay. I could see this. Yeah, people would know that, because what happens is people don't want to be rejected. They want this. This is a guy telling us. He goes, people don't want to be rejected. They will keep coming to prove us wrong. I'm like,
Was there something that they would get as a reward if they did meet the goals? Oh, you
cookies.
Just get to keep you get to keep going. Here's your reward.
Yes.
Write another check.
Yeah, you get some guy named Justin or Jason or Jacob or all those Brandon and Braden, all those names of those people back in the late 90s, like Jacob. You get one of those guys with a goatee to be like, all right, you're really making some improvement. Way to go, Alice. You're doing really well. All right. Good job. Good job. Good job over there. Yeah. It's the weirdest thing in that you do pay a trainer you really have absolutely no relationship with. You see him once or twice a week. Some big necked guy comes in. Okay. Come on. Give me one more. And you don't even like the guy, but you're paying like $75 and you're like, try to force one up. Okay, looks like you got two more in you. And the guy's just staring at some woman's rear end while he's like half counting. You're like, I think that was 12. Was it? Oh, all right. Let's go over here. Let's work on the delts.
Did you ever have a trainer?
That's his thought pattern going through his. Yes, lots of trainers. Yeah.
I had one once, and he told me, he said, now, before I get here, I want you to be here 20 minutes before, and I want you to be out of breath, and I want you to have done some aerobic things. So what I would do is I'd get there 3 minutes before. I'd like run in place really fast, and then he'd get there. I never did anything. And then I couldn't stand it. I just hated it. It was so boring. That's the part that's the worst, is it's just so boring to work out. I mean, even if there's like 10 televisions there and you can watch and, you know, go on the treadmill.
Gotta have a goal. Gotta get a good trainer and a good goal. You know what, Sherry? Come on in. Can you close the door? I just want to talk to you for a moment.
Hey.
Hi. Yeah, we've noticed that you just run in place for like 3 minutes. You're not really trying that hard. You seem more out of breath just getting out of your car, which for some reason you put that in as one of your goals, is to get in and out of your car without losing your breath.
Right.
So we're going to have to ask you to leave. All right. I know your husband told you to lose a couple of pounds. That's why you're here. But we're going to have to ask you to leave. All right.
Well, I get a second chance. I'm not going to be as winded getting out of the car. I'm going to like try to streamline that process a little bit.
Yeah. All right.
So I don't work so hard to like swing my legs away out of the car.
No.
Can I?
No.
Can I get like a half a week?
No.
Nothing.
No, because everyone has had to adjust all the machines after you use them because your hands are so big. All right. By the way, this is do we have time for the fact that Seattle downtown is improving? Although I can't believe people think it's improving. But Cuomo goes out there and finds out that where all the problems are over there at 3rd and Pine or 3rd Avenue, where you open air drug market, just drive up and down. You can see people nodding off, getting high, you know, doing all sorts of gross stuff, stealing from one another.
It's a much quieter evening on this stretch of 3rd Avenue compared to what many who often walk in the area say they've seen in the past.
I feel like it's a lot better, man. You know, people are more able to come into the shops, actually do what they need to do, like, you know, shop and stuff.
For months on this block between Pine and Pike Street, it wasn't unusual to see open air drug use. It's also been an area that's seen several shootings this year. With the help of SPD's emphasis patrols, the King County Prosecutor's Office has filed 35 felony drug dealing cases from the start of 2022 through the end of August. Of those, 24 involve fentanyl. 10 people were also charged with unlawful gun possession. All those cases coming from around 3rd and Pike.
If somebody's dealing fentanyl anywhere in King County, but particularly 3rd and Pike, you can expect a felony charge.
International Cigar and Tobacco has been on this block for more than two decades. Their former owner, Amir Youssef, recently sold it after he says he was seeing a jump in drug use and violent crime right outside his window.
Although I'm not there, business is still there, and there are so many other small businesses there. So I hope they will keep pushing for improvement.
This comes at a time when Seattle City Council recently voted to move forward with plans to revamp Third Avenue, making it more pedestrian-friendly and bringing in more stores. Yusuf supports the plan only if there is a strong focus on increasing safety.
I think it's a good idea. If make it more friendlier for the people to walk around, it's good for business, good for the city, yes.
Mm-hmm. I have some cop friends of mine. This whole extra patrol started, what, like 5 months ago or something like that? They said, we'll just move them somewhere else. And then all the cops were taking bets among themselves about where the new crime would be. So if you emphasize the one area, you just kind of like, you know, toothpaste in a toothpaste tube, you shoot them down somewhere else. So they forced them elsewhere. They forced them out to Belltown area. I forget officially where they've ended up. But, yeah, that street's fine. They say that they're also, you know, prosecuting more, catching more, putting more in jail. But still, we have record number of shooting, of record number of, you know, we just, we're setting records all the time in Seattle. So,
well, they want to revitalize that area, so they're not able to do that or get started on that until they can clean it up a little bit and people can feel safe. Otherwise, no matter what they do, nobody's going to want to go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how many shootings? What was it? Sunday they had.
Five.
What was it? A bunch of people shot Sunday, then somebody shot today, yes, and last this morning. Over the weekend, were they 29 or 21 rounds of spent shell casings? Is that over in the International District, Jacob? You're following those stories?
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure about that particular one.
Some other guy got shot over there near 3rd and Pine, yeah. I thought. Yeah.
Two dozen shots were fired in the Chinatown area. 4 cars and 2 buildings were damaged.
Yeah, all right, that's good. Okay, don't forget, defund the police. That's still floating around. They don't really want to defund the police now, but doesn't matter. You've already done it by telling police they're not important, they're terrible people, we don't want to pay you what you deserve, we have less and less police. We're heading in the same direction as New Orleans. Less cops, less coverage, more criminals. Right, Mickey's got to look at traffic for us. This sounds like an Al Jarreau song.
Huh? Can you sing his song? The song that you tried to sing for him?
Yeah. Anyone want to go dancing in the company? Still great. We used to do that horrible show, that Channel 9 show in Washington, D.C., we just have so many great people come on. It's like, God, I feel so sorry for them. Like, what are they doing on this show? But the great part was, whenever we'd have a singer on, I always say, it's kind of a tradition. Even then, it wasn't a tradition. Whoever comes on, I get a chance to sing with them. So I sang with Bruce Hornsby in the Range. I sang with Glenn Campbell, Johnny Mathis, Al Jarreau, Livingston Taylor, and James Brown. I mean, all these guys, but it's like they're all on their like downward slide. They're all, you know, this was the end for them. This is, you know, prior to just giving up their career entirely. They'd come on our show.
Did you sing a duet with them or did you sing along?
Forced it on them.
So you'd sing along with whatever their big song was. You'd just.
He came from somewhere back in a long ago. Son of man of fool. Yeah. Michael McDonald right in there with him. Every word. Glenn Campbell, I am a lineman for the county. You know, starting on a different key, but yeah, sure, all of them.
Okay, and how'd they like it?
I don't know. They were on that show. I mean, at that point, they you know, kind of given up. Poor Bruce Hornsby, man, his breath was so bad. We were sharing the same microphone. I had to back away. I wanted to sing with him so badly, but then he kept leaning in there and like blowing all that bad air out. It's like, oof.
Did you remember all the words?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. God, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay, I was on good. It. Yeah. Alrighty. This is a weird situation. This woman is under anesthesia, and she has a hilarious response. Woman under anesthesia, hilarious confession that she loves the nurse. Do we have the sound? Oh, this is post-surgery. Hang on. Oh, look at Teeny. Teeny's waving. All right, hold on, Teeny. Hold on. Hold on. Teeny wants to talk to you about that mustache comment you made earlier. Hold on. So the woman's recovering from the surgery. She's broken her arm and declares that she...
I love you so much.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. You should love me, too.
We just met today.
I know, but we're getting married.
We are?
Yeah.
Where are we going to get married?
We're going to get married at the chapel.
At the chapel, I see.
Yep.
I don't think I like the chapel too much.
Why not?
I'm just kidding you.
I think we should get married. We'll be the cutest couple ever.
I see.
Look, I love you.
Well, thanks.
Look, you're the cutest little guy around.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Mwah.
Oh, you're gonna have fun watching this later.
What?
Oh, nothing.
You're so adorable.
Thanks.
I wish I could just mwah.
Jacob must love this story. This goes on for like 3.5 minutes.
There's just it just goes on like this. There was no good place to stop it, actually.
I see. Just keep it going, man. I guess this is fairly common. Have you ever come out of surgery, Sherry, and like made big advances or, you know, talked to your anesthesiologist?
Yeah, I had dental surgery once. I guess, tooth pulled or something like that. And they were taking me into the recovery room. And mm-hmm. I went in and then I like kind of wandered, I guess. And I went in and I said to everybody, good night. Good night. Okay, good night. Like I was saying good night to everybody, like I was going to my bunk bed to say, to go to sleep or something. And then I went to sleep and they woke me up.
Spellbinder.
But that was the weirdest. I haven't had a lot of surgeries, Jacob.
Huh?
I haven't had a lot of surgeries. And you?
Wait, hold on a second. This dental surgery, is this when you were an adult and still slept in a bunk bed?
No, I'm saying it was like I was a little kid saying goodnight to everybody, like going into my room, you know. Oh. I kept saying goodnight to everybody.
Even though I slept in a bunk bed as a kid?
No, I didn't. No. I was using that as an example, like a child going to a child's room
where there was a bunk bed.
I know, Lord, you don't dissect it.
this whole show's about play a cut, stop it, make fun of it, play the rest of it, but you dissect the whole thing.
Okay.
Same thing with news, all of it. So,
I know.
You know, yeah. Teeny, any advice for Sherry?
Have you thought of a perm?
No, Teeny, have you thought about perming your mustache? I hear there's enough hair.
Okay.
The answer is no.
Okay.
Think about it. Yeah, think.
Jacob did find this. This is me recovering from knee surgery in 2015.
You know this guy you work with, Tom Tagney? What do you think of him?
I told him I would outlive him. I got to figure out what to wear. I said, Tom, I'll go to your funeral. I'm going to say nice things about you, but we got to figure out what to wear to Tom.
That was really high. For some reason, I was figuring out what to wear to his funeral. Oh, at least mine was in real time. Oh, I went from room to room and said goodnight to everybody.
Oh, okay. Somebody's dead, and I'm worried about what to wear. Boy, what does that say? I'm going to outlive you. I'm going to say nice things to you. Now, what do I wear?
Wait a minute. Sherry, I was under this. I was under medical.
So was I.
But that clip of me was, I was high at the time. You did an imitation of yourself walking around wishing everybody a good night and then climbing into your bunk bed, even though you were an adult. If you had real sound of that, we would then play it, and then we'd be like, "Oh, look at you!"
So
but this is an actual. That's an actual. That's me high in 2015.
Well, why do you think that occurred to you? Like, what of all the things you could have thought about? Why did you think about Tom's
funeral? Why is this lady want to? Why is this? I don't know. Why imagine him dying or something? Why is this lady still going on and on about wanting to date the anesthesiologist? I guess it's typical. There's something about maybe it's oxytocin or whatever your brain is sort of producing when the anesthesiologist is there. And then, you know, you wake back up again, or maybe you're just happy to be awake. So,
I think your nurse was baiting you. She was trying to get you to say something negative about Tom. And
Lace was in there. Lace was in the recovery room, and she was wondering how I was doing, and so checking in on me there. So, yeah, that's how that works. All right, let me cover that. Teeny, anything else you want to add? You okay in there? Boy, you really hurt her feelings. Wow. Tap on the jar, would you, Jacob? She looks upset.
Okay.
She's fine.
Teeny?
Just ask me.
Okay, just ask her, Sherry.
Okay, do you think you want to perm your mustache?
No. Stop it. Stop it. You are mean and despotic. All right. We'll check traffic, and we got your letters pouring in. You write just at mynorthwest.com, and if you want to write, like, what the hell is this show about? That's fine. That might be even the letter of the day. Nikki, here we go. We get the mailman in here. You got lots of mailman letters. Here he comes. Hey, mailman. Teeny's chosen the letter of the day. How does she do that? How does she choose letter of the day for a mailman?
I've never understood the lore there. Yeah, it's confusing.
It's hard to figure it out. Right to your door. That's right. Well, let's do this. Our show's almost
play
over.
Play the radio.
We've been playing the radio, Mr. President, been doing it for about since 3 o'clock. We'll get to the 6 to 7 o'clock hours. Always fun to see what we're going to say. But first, let's get to the letter of the day. But first, let's take care of all the rest. Here we go.
Seahawks, area code 360. N-O, defense going to be a different breed of dog.
N-O stands for New Orleans, I believe.
Oh. Okay.
You want to read it again?
No.
Like,
let
you know what you're
again.
Talking
okay.
about?
But
yeah,
okay.
Try again. Take two.
Okay, hold on. Here we go.
Sherry, let's pick it up from where John says, but first let's take care of all the rest. Here we go. And on you. Go ahead.
NO defense going to be a different breed of dog.
Airplane seats 360 says 90 seconds to get everybody off the airplane is an FAA requirement. There's a funny story about a woman who panicked during one of our certification tests, and she hid in the restroom. We're not able to certify the plane for the full cabin. Full cabin minus one.
Private pilot in 360 says no, the regulations require 90 seconds to evacuate the entire airplane with doors slides on one side inoperative.
Oh, wow. This guy really knows, Private Pilot 360. Mascots 425. I about crashed laughing about Raggedy Ann striking fear into the other team. Kind of the metaphor for Kamala striking fear into Putin if she were ever to become president. Look at that guy.
He took a 425 real turn.
Went a long way. Make it political. Wow. All righty.
Fish cheating. Lance in Manchester says, if the fish had eaten 7 pounds of lead sinkers, it would sink to the bottom like a rock.
360 says, I thought mercury poisoning was a problem, but now it's lead poisoning to worry about.
Stu in Burbank says, not only did those fish have lead balls in them, they had vibrating beads stuffed up there. You know what?
Wow.
You all right there, Sherry?
Yeah, I can't get through that one.
Sorry.
Okay, Sherry, can we, let's,
yeah.
I think we got that one.
Yeah,
boy falling behind. Just Bob in the 509 says, some of today's young men work hard at their jobs, but due to questionable role models, they've fallen into the
Okay, John, why don't we just...
Disreputable.
Thank you, behaviors. It's Sherry's fault, Jacob.
Yeah.
It's Sherry's fault. She threw me off. All right.
Oh, yeah,
like betting on professional sports unsuccessfully, successful betting would, of course, be admirable. No, okay, making a crack at my sons. All right, fine. And I really screwed up your letter.
Paul at Long Beach says everybody wants to have a corner office, but no one knows how to build the corner office. Worst thing that ever happened was shop class.
Do you guys need to take a break here? Because both of you seem to be having problems in there. PornApp 206 says regarding online accountability partners, the head pastor of our church in Bellevue has been doing this for years.
Garrett in Woodinville says my brother's wife made him install Covenant Eyes on his computer when they got married. They didn't last a year before they divorced. Go figure.
Dr. Fritz, talking about obesity, food companies and pharmaceutical companies are 100% in it together.
Kate in Auburn says, I may be fat, and I agree with you that it is not healthy, but I am beautiful, and I deserve to wear beautiful clothes, whether I'm a size 0 or a size 24. Be careful with what you skinny people say, or you're going to alienate like half of your audience.
Mm-hmm. Jim Closers, 360, says, on top of that, studies have shown that high fructose corn syrup sends signals to the brain telling you to quit your gym membership or don't ever join if you're not a member.
206 says, I go October through April 3 times a week, basically when it's rainy.
Okay, there. Thank you for that. Now we know where you are. Oh, Teeny.
And now Teeny? It is time for the letter of the day.
All right. Area code 360 says, speaking of mascots, wasn't the Philly Fanatic one of the many girls John took to the prom in high school?
No. Where did that come from? The Philly Fanatic?
And now it is time for
another letter of the day.
That's
another
one, Jacob.
Didn't write no more. There's so many inside jokes. I can't keep track of all this stuff. That might be some reference. Oh, boy. All right, Mickey, help get us home.